Hey, this is Devin from Ghostish Files, reminding you to tune in to Ghostish Files every other Saturday on www.ghostishfiles.net.tc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Oh, man, I really gotta get out of here. Later.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Oh.
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 In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo cake blasting in my
body. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, Tommy.
Hi, this is Tamara Thorne, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk with the hosts of Ghostbusting, Scott L. and Doug.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions. This station serves the live homes of New York City. This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system.
All right, man. This is just intense right now. As we're trying to keep this thing together.
I just want to like not do any more breaks.
Yeah,
because I have to say this is
well. Depending
really
on how these are going to go here in the next half an hour, you might not be doing that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Why do we even take one?
Well, we did because I wanted to talk with Mick and Sylvie real quick.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, this is really helping me a lot.
It is me too because I've been doing a lot of reading on this particular subject.
And, yeah, and this is really helping me a lot, and I really, really am enjoying this, because this is the kind of stuff that it's tying a lot of different things together.
Well, one of the things Mick just said was on the break, which was, I mean, it was hilarious, but at the same time, it's very enlightening, too, and we're like, you know, Doug, of course, because you read a lot of Edgar Casey stuff.
I read a lot of everything,
you're like,
yeah.
Have you ever heard, I mean, are you familiar with Edgar Casey?
And what's interesting is Mick, who does this.
Yeah.
He replied, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he says he was told by the spirit team,
mm-hmm.
don't read all the stuff by everybody before.
Yeah,
we're gonna cut new ground. We want you to be a mind that does not have all those other people's ideas and pieces of the puzzle floating in your head.
Yeah.
We want you to be yourself, and you know. So don't go out and familiarize yourself with everybody else who's done, you know, similar things.
Yeah.
But what's amazing, Mick, what floors me is how much this is tying a lot of different people together, and you present it all in one package. It's just an amazing talk with you, to be able to talk to you guys.
The thing is...
I think Mick's busy right now.
With the trance situation, it's... because it's a form of physical mediumship, i.e. the spirit actually takes total control of the body, they need to take Mick's mind away completely. So when you're first learning to do trance, the less you've got in there, when they start speaking, you know that it can't be you because you don't know that information. Where's that coming from? I'm speaking these words. Okay, at the minute I haven't got it perfected enough to be that my mind is totally gone, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I can still hear what's being spoken through my body, but because I don't know these things, then I know, and everybody else knows, that it's spirit's words. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's why it ties.
That's why
it's
this
like
is
a direct
so
source.
Yeah, you're talking directly to spirit.
And everybody
else
has gotten bits and pieces right, but they're giving it in the whole form.
But you're you get to talk directly to Gregory, directly to spirit, that's the source. There's no contamination whatsoever. Yeah. This is what we look for in ghost hunting. No contamination. It's a very scientific thing to be able to start from a clean slate.
That's right. So what's happening now, okay? Nick's going into trance now. You might hear his breathing change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because spirit has to take control of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it earlier, too. He was kind of coming through.
Starting, so he had started. And what about the process? What do we have to know before Gregory comes on?
Well, basically, they've taken him off already, and
Nick.
The next voice you hear will be Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they take control of his body. They take his spirit and his consciousness to somewhere else completely.
Okay.
So that they can have a free reign.
Should we give you guys a second just to, like, get ready? Do you want us to give
you
a second?
Are you assisting, or is it okay for you to be talking with us?
That's okay, because this is where what we do and how long we've been working on it comes into play, because...
Okay.
All right. We just don't want
to... I don't know what to ask, like, what's appropriate.
I got a million questions to ask.
Yeah,
I have a feeling
know.
Spirit will keep it... Keep it appropriate.
Yeah, am I going to win the lottery? No, I won't do that.
That's
won't
not
do that.
The kind of thing.
I know, I'm kidding.
I have to
maybe. I don't know.
No. But I'm the lawyer. I'm coming out on this one. I'm going to be like, Mr. Gregory.
Clairvoyance, okay?
What's that?
Right, they're not. It's not clairvoyant. What's happening is we'll be talking with spirit.
Gregory.
And they can't read people's minds or predict the future.
No.
But they can tell you what it's like over there.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Sylvia?
Yeah, on other worlds and anything you want to know that's to do with the paranormal. So as long as it's sort of quite clear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if everybody's talking at once, then how you doing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so.
We'll try.
Yeah.
We'll try to keep...
We'll keep our cool.
This is Will.
Hello, friends. Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello,
dear friends. Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here. We of the spirit side of life. We welcome you in this soiree of investigation and understanding into knowledge for the benefit of humanity. We are so greeted with... the conversation that has occurred so far, and we are already here and waiting for questions that you may have and wish to ask of our side of life.
Ah, well, hello, Gregory, how you doing?
No, friend, hello.
Hi. Well, Doug, why don't you go ahead and start first?
I have a question, Gregory. My name is Doug. I would like to know, I am a ghost hunter. That's what I do for a hobby, and I like to look for evidence of your realm, of your people, of what happens after our
physical
death.
Physical death, yeah.
So I'm wondering, the way we go about it, we go out into cemeteries, we go into haunted houses, and we take equipment.
Yes.
And we try to capture anomalies. Would these anomalies be caused? Are they caused by hauntings, by people who are trapped here with us?
Not necessarily, dear friend. You must remember that the word ghost, as far as we are concerned, is not an individual who is present. It is, as you say, an anomaly. It is a situation or event that because of your presence, you trigger the event by your energy being near to that event,
okay.
Which may have happened many centuries ago.
Okay, so we're basically what you're saying then is that our energy, our human energy, our spirit energy is what is a catalyst for this particular thing. It triggers this particular event.
My dear friend, for what we term as being a ghost, that is true. A ghost is non-reactive. You will be able to wave your arms about, you will be able to talk to them, and they will not react to you. That is because there is no being really present in the situation. They have long since departed, and all you are looking at or observing in that instance is the replaying of a situation that became enticed and entangled in the fabric of your world.
Is there a way then to determine if it's possible to get evidence of a physical evidence such as photographs or recordings of a spirit that is that has departed, but one who an actively thinking entity?
Yes, of course, dear friend, but only if they wish it. You may not take a picture if the spirit identity actually wishes not to be seen. This is something that will only become present at their behest, not at yours.
So that, it's their choice, then.
That I believe. It's their choice, completely.
Okay, well, here's a question for you then, Gregory. We do a lot. We've been doing a lot of work on electronic voice phenomena. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Capturing voices, voices. And we actually, I'm going to bring it back up from Indiana again, but we actually captured a voice in Indiana on a bridge, on this abandoned bridge. This historic bridge we were on, that actually seemed as if it was reacting to our conversation. Now you say now. I'm just curious if the same thing happens with photos, with visuals, along with audio.
It will do so, dear friend. The point we are trying to make is that if you are indeed in contact with an individual from our side of life, then they will be reactive to your thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
See? So if you present yourself in a serious manner and that you would perhaps wish to help them in some way, perhaps find out why it is that they are still persistent in their way of creating this image for you. Why is it that they wish to do this? There must always be an evidential story line that is linking that individual spirit as that being the case of why they have come in the first place. They seek help, perhaps. Or perhaps they are merely reiterating a story or event that occurred many of your years previously.
Okay, all right. Well, speaking of years, I mean, I'm just curious on that side.
Yes.
Is time measured the same way as it is here on the physical realm?
Indeed not. In physical life, dear friend, you think in ways of linear time and step. You expect the forming of an idea and the time that it takes to do so. Do you see? So your whole world is geared around the process of one and one, whereby you think something and then do it, or you action it. You perhaps bring your hand to your face, and that is something that will take time. In the spirit world, it is quantum time. So we present ourselves in the manner of thought, and when we bring thought to our minds, because we have been trained to do so, then this is something that will continue. You see?
Yes.
So that if you think that you would wish to be in a specific place, then you will be there in an instant. That thought is made.
Okay, all right. I'm getting a gist of this.
I like that.
Yes.
Speaking of places, then, is it necessary, because being a ghost hunter, one of the things that I do is I go out and about. I go to cemeteries, which are final resting places for bodies of humans, and I go to haunted houses or houses that have some kind of paranormal activity in them. I go to places that are reputed to have this kind of activity. Is place really important in that case if I'm looking to see paranormal things happen?
Indeed so, it may well be. And of course, it might not just be perhaps that you go to a place that is no longer inhabited, but perhaps that you are visiting a place where individuals in physical life are having a problem with some such entity or other. Perhaps they have become attracted to that place because of certain specific energies that exist within the individual's presence. Do you see?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. So that, for example, children will elicit a pure significant energy that will attract individuals from our side of life who are perhaps closer to your side of life for one reason or another than they are to the spirit world. Or they may well be that the individual has been brought to that place by other spirit friends and relatives on our side of life who are trying to help them overcome certain difficulties they may possess. You must always remember, dear friend, however, that when you come to these such places, particularly in relation to cemeteries and that kind of thing, that you should protect yourselves in thought. You should bring your mind consciousness into creating an envelope of reflective mirror image, so that, and ask too, that you would be protected by those highest and greatest to that effect. Do you see, friend?
Yes.
I understand, and we do a ritual, but we envision ourselves in white light, God's light, loving
yes,
light.
Absolutely so. I'm just merely saying glass, a mirror image, because then it means, dear friend, that if negative entities may perhaps persist in that particular place, they may well wish to try to perhaps attach themselves to you in some way, and you may therefore unwittingly continue to take them along with you on your journey.
Yes,
and I've
got... I'm really merely saying this, dear friend, to... because we wish others who are perhaps creating in your field similar journeys, similar interests, that they use safe practice.
And I've heard of some stories where safe practice was not happened, so that I hope will help a lot of people by listening to
it. So, yes.
And what about negative? How can a negative entity gain power over a living human and exert its power? Does it attach itself to? How does it affect living humans?
Well, the individual, the offender, shall we say, then has created some negative act in their physical life and has refused to perhaps recount for that passage, and they will continue to harbor that negativity. Negativity cannot survive without leeching itself to something that is positive. So, indeed, if a negative energy makes its presence felt, they will perhaps, by the reaction that they create in physical beings, they are in fact surviving on that energy.
Oh, like leeches, like using a human's energy.
Yes, exactly so. And they will, in fact, continue to create greater negative energy because of this existence of individuals' inability to protect themselves.
So it is very important to protect yourself before doing what we do.
Now, dear friends, we are not here saying that in this respect that there is a heaven and a hell, that these individuals come from the state of hell or Lucifer or whatever such rubbish that people come out with.
Okay.
So they're just negative entities.
A religious context, you see, and that is something that does not exist in the spirit world.
Religious context, it doesn't exist at all.
Consciousness, thought, that arrives with the individual. Do you see, friend?
But does religion hold a place in our realm? Like, is it good for us to?
Well, indeed so. But my dear friend, people are not good because of religion. People are good because they are good, because their action is of some worth, or they are of positivity or love, or they wish to give something of themselves to others in a selfless way.
Yeah, well, we talked about that a little bit with Mick earlier.
Well, he created in spite of religion.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we know very well that there are plenty of, I mean, on our plane of existence here, that there are plenty of very religious people we know of that they don't seem to give selflessly. They seem to take much more selflessly. So, I mean,
so, yes, that is my point, dear friend.
Here's a big question I have, and it's something I've been studying a lot lately, and listening to your voice, listening to you, Gregory, your voice seems thick, and this is going to lead to the question I have, because we've heard many opinions on the substance called ectoplasm, okay? And one of the theories I've heard of is that there's actually a formation. It takes a certain person, such as Mick, to be able to have the chemical compound in his body to actually manifest this substance called ectoplasm. And what happens with...
Dear friend, I'm sorry, I have to correct you there, purely and simply because it is Sylvia who has the abundance of ectoplasm in her own nature and state.
Okay.
So you use... So in order for us to communicate with you, both Mick and Sylvia are both working this on our side.
Yes, my dear friend. However, we also use another mechanism for the purpose of trans communication, which is, I suppose you could describe it as that to the right side and to the front of our friend here, we have created a polarization unit, which is something that is a form of energy vortex which spins in a clockwise direction, is varying in height depending upon the energy that we that is available at that time to utilize. This enables the surrounding area to become gravitationally light in respect of the rest of the room, perhaps, or the rest of the house. Do you see?
Yes, yes.
You're...
That happens in a small sphere, which just really encompasses the two of them. Or perhaps if there is a spirit circle or seance that is occurring at the time, it will perhaps envelop the whole circle or the whole room in that way. Do you see?
Yes.
So it's actually... You're working with fields and like quantum mechanics and things.
Yes, yes, and electromagnetic fields, yes.
Interesting.
And Gregory, does emotion play into that? Like if you can like make yourself like spooked out or scared, can you like get like your adrenaline going type thing? Like if you're really like freaked out, can it like help it, ectoplasm develop?
Form of emotion, dear friend. I do not get, as you say, freaked out by certain events. I, however, do try to become involved with the situation, which is predominantly through love that the situation is brought about. Do you see?
Yeah.
Because that is the vibration that we come on.
So it is. It
you're
is emotion.
Able to be present.
Well, the question I had, though, concerning this substance, okay, maybe I'm totally off here, and feel free to correct me, but, see, I'm trying to understand, because I'm going to tell you what one of the number one things I've heard concerning ectoplasm is that it don't exist. It's not real. Ectoplasm is not real. All it was back in the old days, like you mentioned earlier, Doug.
Oh, the cheesecloth.
Cheesecloth. The people would regurgitate to make this illusion of this weird substance.
Oh.
And from a lot of stuff I've been reading up on and talking to you guys, this is a very real substance, this substance called ectoplasm.
Oh, yes. Yes. It actually is formed through the charms and quarks that exist in every cell division that is a part of your physical makeup. And these facets of your cellular makeup in individuals, peculiar to some individuals, perhaps one in 1 million, who are born on your side of life, actually have this ability to harness these charms and quarks through various organs of their body, perhaps through the pancreas or through the colon or some other such organ cellular division with the help of spirit actually form and make a kind of material which enables spirit to clothe themselves. We call it garb.
Okay. So I've actually heard the term ectoplasmic voice box. Actually, the voice, that's what's created in order for you to communicate.
Yes, ectoplasmic voice box is a remote box, dear friend.
Okay.
However, it may well be that the voice box, shall we say, for one particular medium, may well form upon the shoulder of the medium and will be, in a way, attached to a kind of tube that enters the ear and the nose of the individual medium, and that will facilitate spirit voice. That is not independent voice. Independent voice is where we are able to take a copy of the medium's voice box as a replica, and with the aid of mechanics and we are able to formulate a voice box which we can then move around the room.
Okay.
And
all right.
This, in fact, was done many times by Mr. Leslie Flint, who, in fact, was able to talk simultaneously to four or five other individuals from our side of life at the same time.
Amazing.
And he was able to be conscious at the same time, which is how exactly the gravity, if you will, of spirit manifestation may take place. There is, however, another form of voice box which may be attached to what we call a trumpet. And this perhaps may be, this may be moved using ectoplasmic rods which appear from the stomach or that area of the medium and will be literally forced through the skin, through the physical wall of the medium's body, and may be extended some 10 or 20 feet in length. Okay. And it is a particularly wonderful apparatus. This will possibly be engrossed as well with the voice of a loved one coming actually through the trumpet. Of course, you must appreciate that for many spirit people on our side of life, it is very difficult for them because they are unpracticed at such events. For myself, I am well versed with such events, which is why we are able to use this facility. We are able to operate the mouth parts, lips, and the tongue, and bring air across the vocal cords in exactly the same way as you would if you were a physical being.
I mean, here's one for you. I mean, how much practice would it take? I mean, how long have you been working on this yourself?
Are there others doing similar things as well?
Yes, indeed. So there are others doing similar things as well. There are many individuals that we are aware of, particularly in the country of England, where it is still manifestly possible that there are many individuals who practice this form of mediumship, as well as our dear friend here. Of course, the form of mediumship that we are trying to expedite at this time is something of a difference because we are trying to create it in red light or in daylight, which is something that perhaps many people feel is a fraudulent issue, perhaps to those dated mediums of long ago, that for some of them, of course, they were able to do so in red light or in the daylight, and others had to do so in darkness. This is because of the particular form of particulate matter that is being used by the spirit world at that time, that perhaps the ectoplasm is completely light sensitive, as much of it is. But, of course, there are inroads into other individuals trying to make new roads, if you will.
So there are a lot of people working on this kind of communication. I wonder if there's a an experiment that could be designed with the help of your side and our side to make to facilitate it. These kinds of things. Are you providing information to folks like Mick and Sylvie and on our side to help make it go smoother or with more people?
Well, perhaps so, dear Fred, in time. I'm not saying that this is something that we can accommodate at this time, because this is a path of development, you understand, and there needs to be a form of, how can I say this? That they need to be situated in one place in order to facilitate this. At this present time, they are moving from place to place, and it does not really quantify that they are able to continue to sit for the same development practice that they were when they were living in England. Do you see?
Yes, I see. I ask that only because I'm a rather scientific person, and I like things, you know, very scientific and
very straightforward.
It's what we're here for.
Thank you. And when you're communicating, is it hard for you? Is it hard for Mick?
Physically speaking, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben. It is not difficult at all. It is, for him, he is somewhere else playing with some children, as it is, on a beach with a ball and a bat.
So he just goes off somewhere else, you take over?
Yes, completely. And of course, because it is spirit energy, it means that there will be no tiredness after the event. If you are dealing with anyone to do with the spirit world, dear friend, they should not be tired, because we are not using their energy. We are using our own energy.
And you're just using the body to basically facilitate.
Indeed so, yes.
Amazing.
Wow. Has there been, when you are in Mick's body, because I've seen photos of past mediums who were able to do this, and their facial features change a bit and things like that, or are you located in the voice box? I don't know how to put this question.
It is the voice box, dear Ben. We are operating the voice box in a specific way that we have practiced and utilized over many, many years of facility since we began this work with our friend here.
Ah, I see. Okay. I had a question.
I was just going to say that, when it's Gregory and not Mick, it's a definite different posture and facial expression. He holds himself differently.
Oh, okay. So it does affect more than just the voice box.
Well, Greg,
it is not anything whatsoever to do with the fact that I was decapitated and lost my right hand at the time of my passing.
I was just going to ask you what happened to you in life, but I think you just answered that question for me.
When did you?
Oh, yes, I thought I would beat you to the post.
Wow.
When did you pass? And yeah, when did you pass?
I passed in 1723. I was run over by a coach and four horses as it travelled from the city of Norwich to the city of Leicester.
Do all entities...
On a small, unlit road, because we did not have lights as you do now, of course, naturally. And it was outside of the town of Swatham in the county of Norfolk in England.
So you and there was no lights, like you said, so the carriage, you didn't see the carriage, and the carriage didn't see you. And it was just kind of a freak accident.
It was raining at that time. It was the last coach of the day that was traveling most quickly. It had four passengers, three gentlemen, and a lady, and a child at that time, and they knew nothing of the event.
If I may ask, Gregory, I mean, if you don't want to answer this, that's fine. When you did physically pass away, I mean, you said that you were decapitated and you lost your right hand.
Yes.
As far as the decapitation is concerned, did you feel any pain whatsoever?
My dear friend, if I cast my mind, my consciousness to the event, I will remember such things. However, they are not necessarily a thing, an adornment that one would need to continually wrestle with in the spirit. spirit world, because in the recounting process and reconciliation with the subgroup, it is something that is gently eased away.
Okay.
So you
for reference purposes. Do you see, Faye?
Yes. So you get past all that once you're on the other side.
You don't worry about that.
It doesn't mean anything
anymore. It don't matter.
Well, dear friend, it is something of physical life, is it not? It is something of the physical being state, and that is left behind. It is returned to the Earth planet from whence it has come.
Do all entities remember their death circumstance?
Well, I would say, dear friend, that most will, purely and simply because it may come up as something of a recognition. Perhaps they would wish to communicate once again to your side of life, or matters of love, of reassurance to others on your side of life that they are still well, and that there is nothing untoward in their life. Because you see, dear friend, life continues. It is just that it continues in a different way. Because you are spirit. You have always been spirit, and you will always be spirit.
So we as spirits, I mean, everybody in this basement, everybody in this neighborhood, everyone on this planet, we've all always been here.
Spirit, indeed so. And your spirit has always existed in a form, because it is part of what we understand as Lord is, or God in your language. That is something that is the source of all life, the unit of all energy, love and understanding, and I suppose you could say in a way positive and negative, because that, however, is something that we articulate in only in explaining something of physical life, because in truth, we only have negativity in the spirit world when we are talking of retrospective glance.
Retrospective and in regards to your physical life, am I correct?
Yes, exactly so. That is something that we have brought with us, perhaps. Not something that will continue to exist.
And that helps you learn, too, obviously, when you're on the other side. I mean, you can use your physical life as something that,
a reference.
Because
it is
the ether world. It is a far thinner place, a far more rarefied state of being. We look upon your side of life as being the murky world.
The murky world? Why would you say that?
Because it's like soup. It's slow and thick. And it does not exist in the same way as the ether world does.
Is there a meaning to death? Like if I know people who have passed away, and I always take comfort or something that it was their time, they needed to go to the next world. Is that true, or is it all just
perfectly true? And of course, individuals will know when they are perhaps going to pass if it is of an illness. This is not to say that accidents also do not happen. It's not to say that it was planned that, for example, an aeroplane full of human beings were part of the path of synchronicity, in that they were meant to perish all in one go. It is, in fact, an act of someone else's fertility of mind, their inaction or their lack of response to events, or their negative action in willful practice.
So it doesn't override free will?
No.
Wow.
Free will, my dear friend, does take precedence in physical life, because that is what it is.
Well, you mentioned a very interesting term there a second ago also, and that was synchronicity. And I've last year I actually had a very strong brush with that myself. Long story, don't want to get into it. But synchronicity itself, I mean, I'm still wrestling with it to this day.
Exactly. So it is the event, because people struggle with it, because they try to make things fit.
Yeah.
into the box of synchronicity when, in fact, that is not the application. And unfortunately, people on your side of life attach labels to things to try to marshal them into the sidings of life to make all well.
Well, yeah, we love to make things orderly and neat, and so we can reference them in an easy sort of manner.
Yes,
that's just
not the way of it, unfortunately.
Well, what's the way of it then? I mean, really, what's the way of it, Gregory?
Well, my dear friend, basically, that you see, in some instances, synchronicity does apply. For example, it may be that for some people, they have been sent to the planet of Earth for a specific reason, and synchronicity plays a very strict pathway in their life journey. However, for others, perhaps, shall we say then, a child who is born on the plains of Africa who lasts for but 3 days, how can we possibly say that the path of synchronicity has played that individual in the way in which that they would wish to characterize or form their physical self and garland their journey of spirit? It is merely, dear friend, because of the fact that you apply judgment in the same way in physical terms to the ether world, and that is not the case. It is that a judgment made in physical terms is something that is only physical.
Well, that's an order.
Well, that makes sense. Liz, I wanted to ask real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
You had said planet Earth.
Yes.
So, are there other planets with people living?
Yes, of course. There are many such planets completely different to your own at this present time, purely and simply because they are garlanded by different genetic imprints, if you like,
mm-hmm.
in physical matter, just the same as you look at yourself to an ant. It is completely different physiologically, and yet there are garlanded imprints of genetics which are similar. And in just the same way, dear friend, on other planets, in your known universe, in on other galaxies that you are aware of, and also in different timelines and different dimensional status that exist. And these individuals will be just as different as these, your good self and an ant.
How can there's no way though to communicate with them unless you're out of our current physical realm though, right?
Not necessarily. The event individuals do come and visit occasionally to your side of life. They will perhaps be benevolent or malevolent, depending upon their status and their reasoning. In their own free will contact with themselves.
Well, carrying off what Doug said, what you're saying is that they can come into this physical plane, what we see as people here in this realm of existence. Obviously, I'm sure you're aware of, UFOs, let's just say. I mean, might as well just be blunt about it.
Yeah.
UFOs and seeing these ships in the sky that we don't know what the heck they are, and 1 second they're there, and then 1 second they're just gone.
Are those advanced civilizations? Those are advanced civilizations visiting us?
Yes, indeed so. They have to be in order for the mechanics that they use. And, of course, also because they use time gates and that kind of mechanism which is possibly available to them at specific times that are of their knowing.
So time gates. That's time. People can move back and forth in time from a physical realm to another place in the same physical realm, but at a different
possibly time. So, dear friend, and also interdimensionally. Of course, you will be aware, perhaps, that for physical beings on your side of life, you are able also to manipulate and manifest aspects of time and knowledge. Through the travel port mortals that are used as spirit beings because you are a spirit. Yes.
Oh, yes. Out of body experiences.
Exactly so, yes. And also perhaps for some facets of dream making that are not specifically something that are tied to the mind manifestation of consciousness, but that they are real journeys augmented and orchestrated by those of the spirit world who perhaps have a reason to bring you to a certain place, to learn something of a future aspect of your life that is to transpire not necessarily in physical form, but in the spirit world.
I've read a lot about the year 2012, for example.
Yes.
There's supposed to be either an awakening or something supposed to happen in our near future. Is there any basis to that?
Well, my dear friend, does that mean then that everyone on your side of life are going to continue in their dull state until the year 2012 arrives and then suddenly wake up?
I know, I would like
to. Unfortunately, dear friend, your planet does not have that long in order to wake up.
Really? What can we do?
Wake up.
Oh, okay.
Well, wake
I
up.
Agree. By
become educationally aware, dear friend. Become environmentally aware of your planet's state of being, of how that you yourselves, I'm not speaking personally, of course, dear friend, but how individuals must correct their behavior, must alter their behavior and the way in which they approach their planet, because we have need of it.
Who has it right? Is it like I hear a lot about the Navajo, the older civilizations that exist on our planet now?
Yes.
And even like way back in Atlantean times and things like that. Who has it right? Who has the right model for living?
Well, dear friend, I would have to say that those tribes who existed perhaps many years ago, or even those isolated tribes still now in the Amazon rainforest and other small corners of the earth who are untouched and remain untouched by the modern man, it continues the way of survival in only using what you can economically fit into your surrounding and not being materialistic. However, this is not a judgment upon you. It is not to say that you cannot have a shiny car or a nice house to live in or other such luxuries that you would and are able to afford. This is to say that your behavior in accumulating such things are bringing despair and dishonor to other individuals.
Yes, I understand.
Is there a way to rectify? I mean, I don't know how to get out.
You just said it, man.
Education is the key, dear friend. Loving awareness. Understanding how to give without expecting something in return.
Interesting.
Exactly. Get to give selflessly, like we said before.
Well, that's interesting because the next thing on our agenda, world or agenda as humans, is going to be Christmas,
uh-huh.
which everybody is supposed to give selflessly. But I think they've turned it into a huge, like $1 trillion
festival. It's an industry like anything else. It's Christmas itself. The term is an industry now. It really has been.
Exactly so, dear friend.
And I mean, and then that idea, like he said, like Gregory said, this idea of materialism, which I mean, we've discussed this many times on this show, has always been a big problem with me. And I mean, you make an interesting point, though, Gregory. There's nothing wrong with having a shiny car or a nice house to live in, but there's a bigger picture you have to worry about, though, and the accumulation of what we've done as a race of people on this planet. Through, I mean,
how you poison rivers, how you leave through your industry it is well to have an industrious mind, but if you leave poison and a polluted planet for your children, you are doing no service.
Yeah, and that's you just put it in words for me right there. It's that. I mean, yeah, things are great for you right now.
Well, we're making inroads, though. There's the electric car, there's the hydrogen fuel cars, so they're making inroads to help with pollution, but it sounds
the whole
like
2 hours right there.
It sounds like our timeline, though, is getting in the, or, you know, the two are going to clash, what we're trying to do and how much time we have left before we're on a planet that's unlivable.
Well,
exactly so, dear friend. For example, you are continuously using large amounts of fossil fuel that are running out. You are, as a race, destroying the Amazon rainforest and other such forests that are the lungs of the planet and the mechanism of how oxygen was originally created on your world.
Well, yeah. Well, here's a question, though. I mean, if our time is limited here right now, as far as a race on this planet, now, let's say an apocalyptic event happens and we're all wiped out. There is no physical realm anymore.
No second chance either.
There's no second chance. What effect is that going to have on the spirit? I mean, your guys' side of existence. Well, how is that going to affect you guys?
Well, exactly so, dear friend. It just merely means that the spirit world will operate in a different way, exactly as it does, shall we say, then for dinosaurs that once inhabited your side of life, their spirit continues to live in the spirit realm.
Uh-huh. Well, what I'm thinking is there's going to be one less train stop, so to say, in this thing we call existence. We're going to have this one area, which is physical existence, this physical soup that you call, it's going to be gone. It's not going to be here. There's going to be nothing left of it.
Yes, exactly so. We are not being judgmental. We are not being, political, anarchistic, or anything of such nature. What we are saying to you is that humanity needs to wake up.
Well, I've been saying that since we started this show.
Yeah,
we've been saying that for a very long time. We have to agree with you, Gregory. I mean, I agree with you 100% on that. I'm glad to hear from someone from somewhere else that's saying the same thing that we've been saying too, because it really is it's a real enlightening thing. And I hope the people that are out there listening or will be listening throughout the week to the archive of this show will listen to that too and actually listen to what you have to say concerning this, because you're right. I agree with you 100% on that.
I do too, Gregory. Thanks.
Thank you so much. It's good that we are talking on the same syllables, eating the same apple.
Well, well, the thing, I mean, we think about this too, and it still amazes us to this day that people come and they listen to our show, for example, and I'll bump into some new person throughout the week, and they'll be like, "So, I hear you do this internet radio thingy you guys do on the rate. How much does it cost?" And I'm like, "Man, you go on the site, and you can download the last 2.5 years of the stuff we've done every Sunday for free, man. We want to get people to start thinking more about.
We want to
everything.
Share what we're learning,
because everything's there. All of this stuff that we've discussed in the last hour and a half, 2 hours is interrelated." It really is, and I mean, that's been my quest since I started doing this thing, is to find out how it all ties together.
Yes.
And it all, I mean, it's I've kind of learned that I was right, kind of. It does all tie together. I mean, learning from you, I mean, you're speaking from the other side going, you're looking from another realm of existence going, man, you guys really need to straighten your act up. You're really destroying, you're destroying your life, your habitat, the lungs of your earth, you're destroying them. Why do you do that? You need to wake up, which is a very... That's really what it comes down to, really, is wake up. I mean, I don't want to turn this into some big war cry on the planet, but, I mean, it really kind of hits me right in the chest about that, because it's the truth. It is the truth. And there's...
Dear friend, there are other mechanisms that individuals can use, thermodynamics, which is a way of utilizing the heat from the planet itself. As well as wave power and wind power that you have already begun to use. There are many different mechanisms that you could use that do not depend upon the solid fuel or fossil fuel fanaticism. that has existed for the last 150 of your years.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always talked about solar farming. Solar farming. Why don't we have more solar farmers out there?
The wave energy. Well, hydro. Yeah. Canada was really, they used to use hydropower for a lot. They still call it hydro electric because it's so clean and eco-friendly.
Yeah.
So it should be happening more instead of less, though.
We got
Gregory.
Gregory, we got to go off the air now. This is terrible. I don't want to go.
I want to ask 1,000 more questions, but unfortunately, our show ends.
Yeah, we're done now, unfortunately. But
dear Ben, we will speak again.
Yes, we will.
I hope
we can, because there's just a lot more. I mean, there's so much we can learn here.
I believe we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, if that, I think so. But Gregor, we need to thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is all of ours.
And thank you to all the spirits there with you as well. I know.
Yeah,
tell
everybody.
Any hundreds, indeed.
Tell everybody that there are a few people, 4 people down here that are pushing for you guys, and we've been working on this for 3 years of our lives to try to enlighten people and bring them, you know, to make them think a little bit
make
more, as opposed to just.
What a bit.
Yeah, I mean that. can you stay on the phone line with us? We're gonna
say our goodbyes to our listening audience, and then we'd like to talk with. You or Mick, and definitely Phil V for just a few minutes after that, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, hang tight. All right.
Thank you very much.
Guys,
this is
something tonight that, I mean, this is...
I
didn't walk into this basement tonight thinking that I was going to be enlightened like this and talking to someone like this either. Whoever's listening right now, whoever is going to be downloading this archive, you need to listen to this. You need to listen to this. Don't just put this on as background noise or listen to it in your car. Sit down with this thing and listen to it. You really need to do that this time. We don't ask too much of our listening audience ever. We never have. But we're asking you to really listen to what's going on here, because there is a message involved with this. And, I mean, I know that everybody down here thinks the same way I do on this, and it's very, very important. We need to get off the air, though. We need to get out of here.
Yes, we have to make way for W Paranormal, and of course next week on Ghostly Talk is Lauren Coleman, and then after that, World ITC.
Yeah.
We have to say
thank you
very, very much to Mick and Sylvie Avery and Gregory, and Morris, and everybody else that's helping them with their work.
Thank you so much.
And to to Ghostly Talkers everywhere, we'll be back next week, same time, same channel, pioneer.rolo.net. Our website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com. And Mick and Sylvie Avery, our wonderful guests tonight, it's linked up there, but plus it's also spirit-teaching.com.
Yes.
So
right.
They have a website, and it's linked up on Ghostly Talk. Thank you very much. 7 p.m. next week. We'll talk to you then.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Thank you.